So Lord, as we open our word, we open our hearts to you. Help us to hear. Lord, don't let the miles, even those who are joining us via live stream, don't let the miles separate us. Lord, somehow you're able to reach down from heaven and grip our heart and speak to our minds and our hearts. Do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, today is Communion Sunday, so if you have your communion elements there at your setting, please be prepared. We're getting into the message, though, and the message today is entitled Palm Sunday Parade. Palm Sunday Parade. We're going to take a look at this event in history, and we just want to remind ourselves that parade is still going on today. It's still going on. God is gathering people to follow this victorious outline. It's amazing. Matter of fact, the big parade is going to be when the second coming of Jesus happens, and it says every eye will see him, and then after him will be all the saints after him. Now that's a parade. Isn't that cool? I'm going to be on that one. Huh? Yeah, good. Well, I heard a cute one before we actually begin the message. It's a good one. Heard a church that was trying to raise money for the new annex, and so the pastor decided, hey, first person that donates $1,000 to our annex, I'm going to let pick the three hymns for today's service. Instantly, an elderly, kind lady said, preacher, I'll donate that $1,000. Oh, he was so shocked. Somebody jumped up, said, well, ma'am, go right ahead. You get to pick the first three hymns. And she goes, I'll pick him, I'll pick him, I'll pick him. Little bold, huh? Let's be bold here today. Let's be courageous. We're dealing with, and I'm going to John chapter 12, what we're dealing with here, Palm Sunday. And it really happens, as you know, before Easter. In this setting here in John 12, we recognize that there is large gathering of Jewish people because Passover. This year, Passover starts on Wednesday, but Passover in this setting, everybody would journey into Jerusalem, and Jesus is coming, and the people know Jesus is coming, and they're very excited to see him because they heard, and some that saw, Jesus resurrect Lazarus from the tomb. Aren't we glad our mock-up tomb is empty? The real one is still empty, too. And I'm telling you, God has all authority, even over death in the grave, and he resurrected Lazarus. Aren't we glad he spoke the name Lazarus? If he just said, come forth, everybody would come. But he spoke one name, Lazarus, come forth. He's going to call your name too, by the way. Praise the Lord. And when that happens, we're all going in the rapture. Anybody else going with me? Huh? Sure. That's most of us. The rest of us, hang on to your seats. We're taking you with us. We're going to grab you by the collar and say, come. Anyway, when we deal with this triumphal entry, it's an amazing thing because it is just that. Jesus is already defeated. And the grave and the resurrection from the grave is really the proof that Jesus has done a great victory for all of us in humanity. Even then, it's an amazing thing. It's a celebration for us today. We celebrate everything that really this season, this week, really means to us, have been liberated, set free. And it's exciting. So some of you today, this could be the first Easter, maybe even the first communion that you had since you gave your life to Jesus. And I thank God for that. We had a person today who was just newly baptized in the Holy Spirit and was so excited about today. So what does that mean? Man, they felt like the Bible had opened up so much to them. So we're taking a look at a victory that happened back then. But how about your story? Your story is very intriguing, worth mentioning, and this story is all about you and me on parade. Let's take a look at John chapter 12, looking at verse 12, reading from the New Living Translation. Here we go. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy, but After Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him, and many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." And really sponsoring their jealousy, the Pharisees, that is, because of what Jesus had been doing to draw attention to God and the power of God. But we're taking a look here because it's a reminder of the significance for you and I who believe. This is really a believer's gathering. And we hope that if you're checking out maybe where God fits in your life, well, we hope that you'll say, "Man, I need to be a part of that. I need to be what Jesus is offering for humanity today." But there's some things here in the triumphal entry, or what we call Palm Sunday, that would signal. Let's take a look. Quickly, we're going to look at the first few points. Number one, the palm branches represented goodness and victory. Historically, whenever there was an element where a king himself was riding on a donkey, that meant, man, there is an element of victory that has happened. Settles in that area of peace. In other words, Jesus is even called that Prince of Peace. But let's take a look here for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives it its power. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, it's important for us to recognize that sin is really what's going to keep people out of heaven. Can you remember that with me? That's really going to be important. Sometimes people say, "Well, I'm not good enough to go to heaven." And really, we're all not good enough. That's why Jesus came to die. If there is any other way for you and I to make it to heaven, then Jesus would not have had to die on the cross. But thank be to God, because we have a victory from our own sin, as well as death, and a promise of that. Let's take a look at number two. It says the donkey symbolized peace, so that those who chose to ride them showed that they came with peaceful intentions. And naturally, isn't it amazing? Jesus is coming and saying, "Man, I'm coming in to usher in that kingdom of peace." And it's peace, and it's important because we recognize that even in our early reading that the disciples recognize, wow, there's a fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. That's how the early church preached Jesus. They did not have the New Testament. They were evolving and creating the stories of the New Testament book. Therefore, they went around and talked to people about Jesus. They would take from the Old Testament. Many say that it's Jesus in the Old Testament concealed. All of a sudden, he comes and he gets revealed. And Zechariah chapter 9:9 declares something about his arrival. Check it out with me. Scripture says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He's righteous and victorious. Yet he's humble, riding on a donkey's colt. So when the disciples said, "Man, we were there. We saw that exactly happen." And it predicted that happening in the Old Testament. Boy, they would go around and preach how Jesus fulfilled it, every bit of 300 prophecies. Imagine one life fulfilling all of those prophecies. This was one of them. It's an amazing thing. Number three on our notes, when people shouted Hosanna, they were hailing Christ as King. Now that word Hosanna literally means God save. God save now. So they're talking about Jesus. We believe that you are, in their perspective at that time, we need a king that would separate us from the tyranny of Rome, the dominance of Rome over Palestinian area, Palestine. We're hoping that you, Lord, would be our king. Save us now. What's important about believers, we need to recognize sometimes we see things in the natural that's really taking place in the unseen realm, the supernatural or the spiritual realm. So when God's coming on in there, in that setting, They're wanting to see something in the natural plane, but how many know God's going to do something in that supernatural setting and deliver people? I like it in Psalms chapter 118. It says this in verse 26, "Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Isn't it wonderful when we get a chance to start our prayers or start our service and we're going to bless God? Lord, we bless you. It's also important, people that just come because they're believers, we bless you. We bless you because you're coming in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. It's an amazing thing how that setting, as Jesus is coming, they're excited. They're addressing it to one individual, and it addresses our life as well. Let's turn the page just a little bit, because our fourth point, Jesus' heart broke with the reality of how much people needed a Savior. Now, that's important for us, and that could be happening even right now, how that people need a Savior. Jesus recognized that. This is just before he's coming into Jerusalem. He's now looking from the Mount of Olives. Remember where you and I journeyed? Many of you journeyed there, and we looked down at the Golden Gate and seeing Jerusalem. Jesus wept. Let's check that out here. It's in Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And it says, "But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you, of all people, would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes." Isn't it amazing? They have Jesus in their very midst. I've had people say, you know, if Jesus would just come back, we'd be able to really understand him. We've even had people say that, man, in the Middle East, Jesus is appearing to certain sectors of society. Well, that's pretty powerful. But we still need to have our eyes open. You know, people still can see things or hear your story or see how God's transitioned you to become a wonderful human being to hang out with. But they still don't see God in the storyline. It's a miracle when that happens, isn't it? And Jesus is saying, man, if you could just see what is happening today. I believe that's what God wants to do for some of us today. And I believe as well for you who are with us. I want to just signal number 5. Take a look at it. The parade that started just outside of Jerusalem continues marching throughout history in the form of the church. You know, Jesus is the head of the church. And you and I represent something of Jesus to society. Sometimes our eyes don't really see if we have not been regenerated within our heart and mind. We're believing that that's going to happen. And I want to signal today and help us as we gather in preparation for this wonderful weekend. I want to remind us why Jesus came. Found one section that I really felt this is really the whole assignment of Jesus' coming. And he talks about you and me, talks about you and me. And it's in Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Let's take a look at that. Luke 4, 16, really it's recognizing it from the New King James Version. But let me read that, because Jesus is now coming into his hometown of Nazareth, and he's in the synagogue, and he's been presented the scrolls, the Bible, and he's reading a portion of Scripture. And I like it because it says, this is why I've come, and this is who I've come for. And he's talking about you and me. Check it out. Verse 16. "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day." Now, let's just take a moment there. As his custom was. One says, as his tradition was, or as his habit was. He would go to church on the weekend. Can I just shout that out there? I just want to, I'm like, huh? Yeah. Jesus had a good habit of going to church on the weekend. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now you can say that because look where you were found today. Oh, I'm so excited for you. But let's go on a little bit more. It says, "And stood up to read." And it says this, "And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's take a look for a moment here. This is pretty outstanding. Jesus is saying, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why, Lord? Why is the Spirit of the Lord on you? What have you been anointed for? For this purpose. I'm coming for these individuals. That's important for us to recognize. Lord, why are you coming? I thought you died for the whole world, but there's certain sectors of society, Jesus says, you're the one I've been looking for. You're the one. I remember when I was in Bible college, and I just got hooked on my wife, Ainsley. The freshman class of about 120, we gathered 7:30 in the morning. It was the fourth floor, and I am looking for her. I mean, students everywhere. They're mealing in the classrooms in the hallway. Where is she? Where is she? Somebody comes, hey, Paul, how you doing? Don't talk to me. I'm struggling. Where is she? And I was looking for one person. I really believe that's the way the Spirit of God is, too. I'm looking for one person. I'm looking for these individuals. That's why we're drilling down. That's why this parade is continuing today. God says, man, I want you to be a part of this Palm Sunday parade. I want you to be, the Spirit of God is in this place, and he's looking for individuals that fit this category. Let's take a look here. I think it's so important. Letter A, preach good news to the poor. Verse 18 in our scripture. Good news to the poor. I like that. It says the gospel, and that means good news. I remember being raised thinking that God was coming to preach hellfire and damnation. And if I didn't go to the proper setting at the right time, I'm in trouble. How many know that's such a wake-up call that God wants to tell people good news? I am wanting to preach good news to the poor. And who's the poor? Who would be the poor? Is that monetarily poor? Could be. But there's really that element where you have that element of just poor financially, but more importantly, poor spiritually. Remember the Beatitudes? When he was saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Those are people that know that without God in their life, man, they're impoverished. You can have everything you want, but that means nothing. Jesus says, I'm looking for you. You're the one I've come for. You're the one I want to bring some good news for. I've been looking for you. Spirit of God's on me. I'm after you. Man, I love that. You know, it's interesting because to realize I need God is such a gift. It is such a gift. I remember that when I said, man, I need the Lord in my life. You know, a story says about Charlemagne, the great conqueror. When he was lying in state, he died, and he wanted his coffin opened up, and he wanted Mark chapter 8 revealed. Mark 8:36. So he says, make sure you lay that Bible right on my chest so everybody can see. And Mark 8:36 says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Man, Jesus says, I'm for that person that says they have everything, but they're poor in spirit. You're the one I've come for. It's important we get a chance. You could be a lot of things in this world, especially as an American. You can be a lot of things in our world. Just determination, hard work, you can get it together. But a person will never be a Christian without Jesus. Never. You can say, I think I'm a Christian. No way. You need Jesus. And the only way to really declare that is say, Lord, help me. Come into my life. That's important. That's why Jesus came, to help those that know I can't do it. I need the Lord in my life. And you know, the Lord came recognizing we are all impoverished. That's important. Romans 6:23 says, for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me prove it. How many have ever told a little lie? Just a little lie. Raise your hand. All right, now the rest of you can raise your hand. You just lied. I can't believe it. Aw, in church too. So it's important we get a chance to see that because God really provides salvation for everybody, but for those that realize, Lord, I need you. I need your help. And you could write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9. It says, for we are saved by God's grace through your faith, to believe. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And not of works, lest any man should boast. That's important that we get a chance to recognize that and understand that. So can I just, there are still people that might just oftentimes think, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. I'm going to make heaven. Well, unless you're riding that wonderful ride, that parade with Jesus, friends, you won't make it. It's important that we get a chance to remind us. What if you were on the airplane but going in the wrong direction? You're heading for beautiful Hawaii, but you're somehow going north to luxurious Alaska, but you don't know that. But you're the nicest person on the plane. You go over to one of your fellow passengers, oh, let me help you with that pillow, and you just fluff it. Oh, aren't you a nice young man? Well, let me help you with that leg. You just put it right on that person's shoulder next. Oh, yeah, thank you, thank you. And you're just so nice. And everybody likes you on the plane, but the plane's going the wrong direction. See, it does not matter. We need Jesus, and it's important that we get a chance to see that. So God comes. His name is Jesus. He's the good shepherd, and he was telling those disciples, come, follow me, follow me. Some of us still wake up in the morning and say, no, God, I'm praying, you come follow me. So it's important that we get a chance, say, Lord, you're coming after me who are poor in spirit. It's important for us. It's important for us. Please remember. Please remember. It's so important. While we have opportunity to get as many people aware of their need for Jesus, there are still people that think that heaven's going to be made up of all the right people, all the good people, and hell's made up of all the bad people, all the wrong people. You know, it's actually the reverse. Heaven's going to be made up of all the bad people, all the wrong people, but acknowledged it and knew that and said, Jesus, I need you. Hell's going to be made up of all the good people, all the solid, upstanding citizens that say, I don't really need a Savior. It's going to be a big-time difference and a shocker when you get to heaven and say, oh, are you kidding? That guy made it too? Oh, come on. Man, they let anybody in here these days. So it's important we get a chance. Tell everybody, man, Jesus is the answer. Letter B, we take a look to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus says, man, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. I think all of us have faced a broken heart, but when I think of something like this, I think of somebody that's faced betrayal, rejection. If you've ever had that, that's so painful. It's so hurtful. I think there's one way, and that I don't want anybody to suffer the loss of a loved one in death, but at least you kind of know where they're at. But if somebody has been facing rejection, I think of like divorce. I think about a business transaction that went south. I think of people that you pour your heart into in church and they don't want anything to do with God anymore. It just breaks your heart. Jesus says, I'm looking for you, brokenhearted one, and I'm here to heal that heart. Boy, that's an important thing. I love it when the Lord does that. He says, I've been sent to heal the broken heart. And if he would go through Huntington Beach, he says, this is the one I'm looking for today, brokenhearted people. Letter C, deliverance to the captives. Deliverance to the captives, he says. I'm looking for those people too in Huntington Beach and the surrounding areas. Deliverance to the captives, which means basically, it's like, well, I think I'm pretty much free. I don't really need any help. Well, you know, Jesus mentioned in John 8:34, says, he who sins is a slave to sin. Sometimes people don't really, really recognize how in bondage or addicted they are to something till they try to break free from it or they're tired of it. How do I get out of it? Jesus says, man, I've come for you if you're done with that stuff. I've come to set free the captives. Now, that's important. So we could just say, well, let's just do a little inventory. Who's the lordship of your life? Who is really calling the shots in your life? How is that when you really want to move forward and advance? What pulls you back? What entices you and you just realize, man, I feel like crud after it's all said and done? It just could be God saying it's time to give that up. And I'm here to set the captives free. Glory to God. Oh, it's so wonderful when the Lord does something like that. I like John 8:36. Jesus says, he comes along, he says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be truly set free. I know that's true in my life. There are things that want to pull me back. But I have certain individuals come along and go, I don't want to get involved with that church stuff. Feel like it's kind of too restrictive. It's like, are you kidding me? Come on. It's like I'm free. It's so wonderful, especially on the inside. You're just free to enjoy life. It seems like you could see and enjoy the sunsets and the sunrises here on the ocean. It's just so great. It's like, man, I never saw the sun look like that before. It's very freeing. And Jesus says, that's what I've come for. People have said, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. So you'll know if there's areas that still captivate you and imprison you. Something pushes or triggers in you and that hatred springs up or that bitterness starts happening. It's like a little marionette puppet. You ever see those things that kind of controls? Like, look, you think you're free? Wait, here we go. No way. Anyway, you get the idea. Let's go to letter D. And give recovery of sight to the blind. That's important. Take a look at that. When he says, the Spirit of God's on me to give recovery of sight to the blind, Jesus says, I'm looking for people. That word recovery means you once could see. You once could see. And we're not talking about physical blindness, though he healed people who were physically blind. But we're talking people spiritually blind. You once walked with God. You once enjoyed the journey with Jesus. But for some reason, you've gone into blindness, and it's not happening for you or for God. Jesus says, I'm looking for you. I'm going to give you recovery of sight to journey with me once again. Now, it's interesting, a story in Scripture, and it's in John chapter 9, verse 39. Let me read it to you. It's a passage where Jesus just healed a physically blind guy, and then he goes ahead and says, this is the reason I've come, to give sight to the blind. And the religious leaders say, are you calling us out and saying we're blind? And Jesus said this. He says, man, you're still in your blindness because you think you see. Let me share that with you. John 9:39, then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying we are blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, or King James says, still in your sin. Jesus replied, but you remain guilty because you claim you are seeing. That's probably why the religious leaders never recognized Jesus as Messiah. They were just blind. Have you ever just told your great story about God or just even being, just transformed and they just don't see it? They don't understand it. They don't have a need for it. Man, that's why, Lord, give recovery of sight. Some people even say, well, I did that stuff growing up and probably about age 12, I cut and run and I'm gone. God wants to say, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. I want to give recovery of sight to the blind and give you direction once again. Boy, I sure like that. I sure like that. So when the Lord starts to work, it's going to be a beautiful thing. Letter E, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I like that element where Jesus says, I'm looking for the oppressed. I'm here in the city, and I'm looking for people who are oppressed. Another word would be downtrodden or crushed, having to deal with failures. Jesus says, if you've been crushed by your past, I'm looking for you. I love that element where he says, set at liberty. Free you and me from our past, and we all have one. But it's amazing that that same work of darkness that caused us to maybe encroach in those areas will come back to make us feel downtrodden or crushed or somehow feeling completely condemned. Jesus says, I'm coming here to set you free. So I'm sure excited. I want to just say, you who are joining us, listen, come. The roof's not going to fall down this Easter when you come. It's going to be a great setting. God's always looking for people that say, man, you come, I'm going to set you free. And it's going to be important. But we do have people that will come and say, Pastor Paul, I am just a string of failures. I failed as a father. I failed as a mother. Failed as a husband, as a wife. Failed as a son or a daughter. Man, I failed in my business. And Jesus says, I'm looking for you to set you free. I'm here to help you in that area. Please do not let works of darkness set you up with your performance. That's not the way the kingdom is offered. Isn't it true? Don't you love that? If we somehow equate our performance with whether or not we're acceptable to the Lord, wow, watch out. Because if we feel like, man, we're too good, our performance is just too good, then we're going to think, well, I don't need God. For failures in performance are just bottomed out, then we're going to say, oh, I feel dreadful. I don't want to see God. And Satan doesn't care which side you land. Just don't seek God. But I think he's seeking us today. And finally, I just want to finish off. Remember when he said, and today, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So I just want to just remind us, we're going to have communion. And Jesus says, I'm looking for the poor who know without me, yeah, life doesn't matter, doesn't make sense. To the brokenhearted, I want to heal. He says, I want to come along for those who are bound or blind or just crushed by their past. I'm looking for you. Let's believe for a miracle here today. Let's see what the Lord's going to do. Let's allow him to speak to you. We're going to have communion, but before we begin, let's jump on in and just let the music and our words and worship help so much right now. Would you take a moment? I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Let's stand to your feet. Thank you, Pastor Sean. He's going to lead us a song right now. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.